When I started this podcast last year, it was an exploration of my own grief. I had lost my mum, my best friend, and I couldn't imagine my life without her. I suddenly had all these feelings of sadness, anger, confusion, and guilt. I needed to understand them, so I turned to my friends and people I knew who had been through a similar experience. It was eye-opening. We cried, we laughed, we processed. That podcast helped more people than I could have imagined. I've been inundated with messages and connected with hundreds of people who've lost loved ones and realized their experiences needed to be shared. There are still stories that need to be told. This season on Death Becomes Him, I meet people who have lost siblings, spouses, parents, and children. Though the experiences differ, one thing remains consistent. Talking about it is therapy. Today, I sit down with Lisa Colquhoun. I find Lisa's story so tough because it's a real reminder to make every day count. Lisa was married to Christopher and they had two beautiful young children. They had bought their dream house. Christopher had just been promoted to vice principal and Lisa taught in the same school. They enjoyed the simple things, walking their dog, holidays, and spending time with family. It was after a dinner with their friends that Christopher started to feel unwell and he was soon hospitalized with the flu. 6 days later, he unexpectedly passed away. Lisa talks to me today about mourning her soulmate and how she's coped after such tragic loss. We've never met before.
No.
You seem like such a bubbly, happy, positive person.
Yeah. I suppose I probably always was,
yeah.
You know, prior to losing Christopher. And I think my friends would probably have always described me as that. I definitely have lost myself.
Okay.
But at the same time, I feel maybe this last, like some days I feel like that happy, bubbly, chirpy person. Some days I don't. But I definitely think I'm getting back to where the real me is.
I've always found that, and I say this, people are sick of me saying this, the reason for doing the podcast was because no one talks about grief.
Yeah, completely.
No one talks about, you know, the D word, death. Why do you think that is?
I think maybe people are afraid. I think, you know, something I found and a reason that I kind of really wanted to put it out there was I think people don't like to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. I know for me at the start, everybody was very keen to want to know when I was going to return to my normal life. You know, I was on maternity leave whenever Christopher passed away. You know, people want to know, but when are you going to go back to work, Lisa? Or, you know, like, you know, very much, come on, get up, get out, let's keep going. And I think because people don't like to see people that maybe hurt
or suffer
and you know, maybe I know for me, if it was somebody in my family, my life would be easier if I thought that they were just getting on with it. So, you know, it's nearly like it's too hard to talk about death. Like with my Instagram, I could sit for hours and openly talk, and I could sit to you now and openly talk. When it comes to family, I can't.
Why is that?
It's so hard,
right.
It's so real.
Yeah,
maybe that's it too. I just think death is just such a scary thing that people kind of like to maybe just kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of just push it to the side and continue with a normal life in whatever way
it's
they can.
It's almost, you know, my process was that, well, this stuff doesn't really happen to me.
Yeah.
This is stuff I see on television. Mm-hmm. This is stuff I see in the movies. And I almost think I had two choices.
Yeah.
And choice one was to stay in bed, to close the door and just stay in darkness. But I almost knew what my mom wanted because I knew who she was. And my mom would not have wanted that. And I used to hate people who used to say, oh, you know, I'm doing that because I know it's what my that person would have wanted. And I used to go, you're full of shit. You're just saying that to make yourself feel better. And I can imagine as a parent to two very young girls, that has to be and had to have been and probably still is quite a tough road for you.
Completely. And like I, at the start, like I am where you were talking about there now, where you get up and you make them proud and you do for them what they can't do and all the things. Like with Christopher, you know, I have his two children, our two children. And, you know, I know the life he wanted for those children. And I am so determined to give him that life. So determined. So that drives me. But it's taken me a long time to get that motivation. You know, I went through CBT and I had my sister move in with me for a year. And, you know, what really hits a chord there is like, you wanted people to see how you recover, or I don't know the right words, but how you respond to everything. Like, my thing was, you know, my children are always going to have lost their daddy young. It's going to be something that impacts on their life, but I don't want it to define them in a negative way, because their mother can't be there to be a safe place for them. So, you know, I'm 2.5 years on. There's days I have to ring my mummy or my sister and say, you know, I need help today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, can somebody just come and just take the girls? But most days I now have that drive and that focus to say, right, I'm going to be their safe place.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them everything. You know, Christopher was so family orientated. He was so committed to a good life for, he called me and the girls three princesses. And when he got his vice principal job, it was all about getting us our dream home and getting the girls everything they wanted. So I can't let that be lost.
Yeah.
But you know, it takes time.
Mm, it does. Mm-hmm. And I remember from doing the podcast was chatting to someone who was 10 years in to their grief, but I was realizing stuff they'd not even thought about, and I was only 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't a time span.
No, even there's another girl, I don't know if you follow her, but she's from Derry, and she lost her husband really suddenly as well. And I was talking to her the other night. So I've met so many people. I actually set up a group on Facebook because I couldn't, it was so overwhelming, people coming to talk to me because I suppose I kind of put myself out there. Not that I have that many followers or anything, but I suppose up around home it became very well known, and I started to talk to a lot of people who were a couple of years further on this journey than me, and I used to think, God, but when you're 2 years down the line, it must not be as raw. It seems so far. When I was talking to a girl the other night, and she's maybe 5 months, and I was like, it's crazy that I remember being at your stage, talking to somebody at my stage, thinking that that was like a different kind of stage, but it's not.
How does it feel now then, thinking what you thought it'd be like over 2 years, and now being in the position where it is, been over 2 years?
It's crazy because I've done things I never thought I would ever do again. You know, I didn't think I would get to the place where I would have be independent.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I'd get to the place where I suppose, I think at the start, like the trauma, the shock, like I definitely think there's major trauma there with everything that happened. And I don't think I would ever have been able to go back to work.
Okay.
You know, I didn't.
And you did for a bit.
And I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, there's so much things that I've done that I never thought I would ever do again.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, like you surprised yourself that you were able to do it.
Completely.
Do you think in a way, you know, that was Christopher?
Yeah.
Almost with his hand on your back, giving you that little nudge.
Yeah, I do. I actually think.
That little push.
Yeah. Kick up the.
Yeah, know? Kick up the arse. Yeah, glad you said that.
Yeah, because that was very him. Do you know what I mean? And I often think, how would Christopher responded to this? And I know that Christopher would have ensured that the girls were happy and healthy and safe. And I know he would have returned back to work, and I know as heartbroken as he would have been, he would have been very focused. So I think part of me actually took over Christopher's personality.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, because I would have always been, Christopher, you do that.
Yeah.
Christopher, go tell him we don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, you're a good cop. He was bad cop. I get it.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, I have to be that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do think there's his qualities. You know, somebody said to me, like, who do you admire and who would be your role model? And I'd say, well, Christopher, because he is who I want to be. He was just so, I don't know, he just got things done, and he just was so
efficient.
Yeah, completely.
How has COVID been for you? How has 2020 been for you? Has this whole lockdown situation hindered your grief? Has it helped it?
Mm.
You know, how have you worked through it?
No, it's been so scary because Christopher died from the flu. So, I mean, this has brought a lot of stuff to the surface for me, you know, and I would never really have openly talked about what happened, Christopher. I mean, Christopher was 33. He was fit. He was healthy. No underlying health conditions. He took the flu on a Tuesday night, and the following Tuesday was standing past coffin, you know. And, you know, I brought him into hospital, thinking, I need to start back to work. Next day was my maternity leave. I was like, brought him into hospital thinking, going, will he be okay? Will I be able to go to work tomorrow? I was packing a bag for us, just thinking everything was going to be okay and normal and get him some fluids and he would be okay. And then I kind of shut that all out and I didn't want to think about it and I didn't want to talk about it anymore in terms of that aspect of it. And then COVID came around. And COVID was this virus that everybody was comparing to the flu.
Such a horrible reminder to you.
Such a horrible reminder, because a lot of the symptoms they were saying, a lot of the things that they talked about were very much Christopher's symptoms. And
talk to me about that week, you know, leading up to it. Yeah. You were living your everyday life as you do, you know, a husband and wife, school teachers, two beautiful little girls.
Yeah.
Everything seemed perfect.
Everything was perfect. And we just got over Christmas and... it was actually the week before we returned to school. So the return to school for Christopher was supposed to happen on the Thursday. And then I was going to work in his school then to cover another maternity leave. So we had went out on the Tuesday night. It was very much, this is our last hurrah before we go back to
and
war.
And was Christopher vice principal at this time? Wow, so, amazing. Yeah, so exciting.
He had just got in the July. Beth had just been born in the July. And the week later, we were actually in the registry office getting Beth's... birth.
Yeah, registered.
And
yeah.
Christopher got an email to say he had got the vice principal
job. Congratulations. Yeah.
So, I mean, we were literally on cloud nine. Like, you know the way people paint a picture of a happy home, a happy couple?
Yes.
That was us. We had just bought our home. Christopher got his job. So, you know.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. Yeah. And people always said, like, and it's not about looking through rose tinted glasses for me. Like, I sometimes look back and think, I was that lucky to find Christopher. Mm. And have that relationship, because it was a short time.
Yeah.
You know, but
that was your reality and you're being very honest about it. That's what your life was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we decided to go out on the Tuesday and we had actually friends over from America and stuff. And we were having, it was so crazy. Even that Christmas was so laid back, so relaxed. There was no going out. It was just family. And Christmas Day with all my family, Boxing Day with all his family, Christopher turned around and just said, that was the best Christmas I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For some reason, we got a big, massive family picture of all my family with Christopher. And we went out that Tuesday and we came home and Christopher all of a sudden didn't start, it really didn't feel well. He just took a fever and so on. But it was your typical flu.
Yeah, and it's winter, you know, the weather's changing, people feel unwell, people have the sniffles. Yeah, there's nothing unusual there.
And he went to the doctor a couple of days later because he was meant to go back to work the Thursday. The doctor said, Christopher, you've got the flu, go home, rest, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's not much that stands out that week, really, because when I look back now, like, Christmas decorations were still up. But I remember thinking, I need to get those Christmas decorations down. And I remember changing the bed sheets. And this, I always think about this. I changed the bed sheets from, because you know yourself, you've the flu, you're sweaty, you're out. And he got into them. And I remember him just saying, this feels like heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, like, Beth was 5 months, Grace was 18 months, and I was running around like a headless chicken, trying to make sure Christopher was okay, making sure the girls were okay. I have a brilliant family. They were there too. And so many times that week, he kept going, thank you so much, Lisa. You're the best mummy. The girls are so lucky, I'm so lucky. And people often say, you know, when you think back to all the things that they said, like, you know, it's, Christopher was very good that way anyway, but that's how the week went. Me being a mummy trying to sort out the two girls and that, and Christopher wasn't getting any better. And then the Sunday came and Christopher had been up all night being sick. And I looked at him on the Sunday morning and I was like, oh my God, he doesn't look right. He was really bad colour. And this is the first time I've ever talked about this, but I feel comfortable talking to you about it now. And, you know, I think there comes a time whenever you realise that you can talk about things.
Oh, totally. I do think that, you know, I've always said that talking is therapy. And, I, you know, I'm a firm believer of when you're ready, like, get it off your chest. I really believe in that.
So Christopher, I rang my mummy and I said, mummy, look, I need to phone an ambulance. And I remember that morning phoning the ambulance and it taken ages. And I thought, and the more I looked at him, the more I thought, why, what's going on here? But at the same time, I thought, has he pneumonia? Has he something like this here? Not that I wasn't overly worried. I just thought, we need to get him sorted.
You weren't thinking this was life-threatening in any way?
No, not in a million years. Never in my life, because it's one of those things. It's not supposed to happen to you.
No, I know. I get that.
And we knew it was the flu. I never in a million years, never. It was like not a normal Sunday morning waking up, because it was like a crazy Sunday morning. School was supposed to start the next day. Christopher wasn't well and so on. And I remember the ambulance finally coming and it was pure chaos in the house. And I remember turning around to somebody and going, is everything okay? Will I pack a bag? And maybe I was just going through the motions of it all. But I remember starting to feel scared then.
Right.
And without going into too much detail then, they brought Christopher and me in the ambulance. And a doctor came out to me. And I was waiting to kind of hear, you know, what was happening next. And they said, just said to me, if you want to phone a priest.
Wow.
You know, and I remember looking and going, why would I be phoning a priest for?
Yeah, you're probably thinking, you know, what is this? What is this man on about?
Yeah.
Totally.
That's how black and white it kind of was. You know, there probably was conversations before, but that's the thing that sticks out in my head. They took me to the room and I remember being like, phone a priest for what sort of thing?
Right.
And then it all just kind of went all spiraling out of control then. It literally was that Sunday night that Christopher passed away then, and he literally, we had hoped that we would get him to England. We actually had flights and all ready to go to England. And
what were you going to England for?
Because he had to go on a machine for his heart.
Okay.
Because that's what ended the heart. The virus attacked his heart. And
right.
They were putting in plans. And, you know, I just remember I just kept saying, you need to do something. I have a 5-month-old baby at home.
No.
Yeah. That this can't happen. And I remember all the plans being put in place, me and him. I was saying, how long are we going to England for? And they said, months, years, we don't know. Mm. It's like my whole world was just falling apart right in front of me. But I had this adrenaline that just kept me going the whole day. And I remember then being outside the room. And I said, you know, what are we doing now? And the nurse said to me, she said, Lisa, you know, sometimes it's best to stay where we are. And I said, what do you mean?
Mm.
And she said, you know, sometimes it's just best to stay in the hospital that you're already at. And I knew what she was saying to me then. And I just remember I went out of the hospital and I just wrecked the whole room. The waiting room, the family room, I just went mental. And then it just...
That was probably just your way of trying to cope. And
yeah.
Because you held it together.
I've held it together.
You know, and the adrenaline probably, and you were probably in shock.
Complete.
But that was just probably your breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to say goodbye? Did you get a chance to say anything you wanted to say? You know, was he able to, did he hear you?
Christopher was awake the whole time.
Oh, right, okay.
But I don't think we really, really fully understood. Even though there was things being said, it was still very much like, he's 33, he's fit and healthy. I've talked to people since who've pulled through, you know? And they're very hard conversations to have. So, you know, it was never a case of, Lisa, you need to say your goodbyes now.
Right.
And, you know, for me, I'm so thankful that Christopher, it's something I battle with in my head. Did he know or did he not know?
Hmm.
Part of me truly believes he didn't know. And there was no time for conversation like that because, you know, he was very ill. And there was, because it was the flu, we were all gowned up and we were in and out. And Christopher was kind of very ill. So, you know, there wasn't much conversation that he was able to have, if that makes sense as well. And we were all just so focused on trying to get him better.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get him well enough to get over. And I remember sitting in the waiting room and the consultant came in and said, can I speak to you? And I just said, speak to all of us. We're all family here. And he says, I think you need to go down. And I just went down. And he wasn't awake at that stage. And I literally held his hand and I kissed his cheek and he died.
Yeah. It's also the shock, you know, because I know from our own experience was, you know, I had almost in my mind, had almost thought, what if mom had been ill and we had 6 months or we had a year?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, that's kind of selfish of me to want that.
One thing I always said, you know, I've seen other family members suffer and it's been very, very hard. One thing I always did say with Christopher was like, you know, I was so glad he didn't suffer.
Yeah.
I was, and I try and take comfort in that because I had one day where I look back now and it keeps me, it there's trauma there. Like, there's definitely trauma with that one day. And I think, how do people overcome years and months of it? And then at the same time, I did listen to a podcast of Rachel, or an interview with Rachel, and she had these letters. And, and she had things for her daughters.
Yes.
And, you know, I still don't believe that I would have wanted it for Christopher to have been in pain any longer than he would have been. But, you know, I crave those. I crave to have the answers to the questions I never was able to ask.
There's no closure.
There's no closure. And I don't believe that you ever get full closure on anybody's death. But, you know, with two girls so young, I think there's definitely questions that would be lovely to have answered, or something for them, for, you know, when it is their wedding day. And part of the reason why I started the blog, or I don't even know if it is a blog or the page, is because, you know, it's scary to be an only parent now.
Yeah.
And to two such young children, that I want them to have something for when they get older from me. As, and please God, like, you know, please God, I'll be the mummy that is there living with them when they have their own grown children and everything. But, you know, we didn't have any of that really from Christopher in that way. Loads of pictures, videos. He was absolutely ICT crazy. So we were so blessed. But I think there's maybe, and maybe I'm wrong, is there comfort maybe in being able to share something from
But also, there's nothing wrong with you wanting that.
Yeah.
I think that's a very normal, natural thing, because, and what you said there is, it is a trauma.
Yeah, completely.
You're suffering a trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think it changes you forever. But like you said, you've become a bit more independent in a way you never thought you would. And I think that's because Christopher's there guiding you.
Yeah.
With Grace and Beth, what age were they when you lost Christopher? They were super young.
So Grace had literally just turned 18 months.
Wow.
And Beth was approaching 6 months.
The fact that they may not remember their dad, how do you deal with that?
It's tough.
Yeah.
And even because it's tough for me right now in their lives. I mean, it probably makes it easier for what the age that they are.
Totally. I think that's a good way also of you processing it for them as a mum.
I mean, a conversation I've had with family and friends is they'll never really understand the true extent of what they've lost out on, which is kind of, you know, there's good and bad to that, because Christopher, I feel, so deserved to be known by his children.
Yeah.
And that's why I try and keep his memory alive. And I'm very open with the girls and I talk about Christopher. You know, I want daddy to be a common conversation in our house. And but I think for me right now, Grace is turning four and there's lots of questions. How and why, you know, and there's ownership. But why is my daddy in heaven?
Right.
And that's tough. So I can't imagine how hard it would be if they had been older as well. But I would take those years.
Yeah.
I would take those years.
Because then what you're thinking is they'll be grieving and going through the same trauma as you. Mm. When she asks why daddy is in heaven, what do you say?
It's really, really hard. I mean, so CBT helped me in the fact that I was able to ask the counsellor. I said, you know, my Grace is a very switched on wee girl. You know, she really is. She's just with it. She's very Christopher. She is so Christopher. And
is that nice for you that she is so like her dad?
Yeah, it is.
Or can it be upsetting as well, because it's like a reminder constantly?
Like, she is so physically like him. I look at her and I think, and it catches me off guard. But I never want her to change.
Yeah.
Somebody did say to me, never have I ever been told she looks like me. It's always like, she is her daddy. And somebody said to me not that long ago, oh, she's starting to look like you. And I thought, no.
Right, you didn't want her
no.
to. No, not me.
Yeah.
Let her look like Christopher forever.
Yeah. So I remember in CBT, I kind of said, look, Grace is starting to ask why. I don't know what to say. But they had told me to be very honest and give Grace a story, like a timeline of events. So I can never answer the whys for her. And I'd be very honest and I say, Grace, sometimes there's no answers. You know, sometimes we don't know why, but we just trust that God, you know, I said God just said it was daddy's time and daddy's very special. And but CBT had actually told me to have the conversation with her naturally. But one morning we were watching Charlotte's Web and the spider in Charlotte's Web dies. And Grace had been getting really, she's a very calm child, but she'd been really frustrated and I'd be saying things like, daddy's in your heart. And I'd be like, I don't want daddy to be in my heart. I want my daddy to be here. And it was very hard. And I was thinking, I just need to have this conversation because this child's confused. Mm. And I know that might sound crazy to some people because she's four. But like, this was what was happening in my
no,
house.
Of course, you were living it.
Yeah. So the spider died. And Grace literally that morning turned around to me and said, Mummy, did my daddy die? And I said, Grace, he did. And there was nearly an acceptance from that. And then now it's the whys and the hows. And they're very hard.
But I think that's a typical four-year-old.
Yeah.
How, why, where, yeah. when. Mm-hmm. They're little riddlers. They're constantly asking questions.
And then I think us as adults, we read into it so much more.
Of course.
Because like 5 seconds later, once I give Grace the answer, she's happy enough. She's way outside playing.
Yeah.
Whereas my head, I'm saying, oh my goodness.
Maybe you're realizing the gravitas of what you're talking about. Yeah. And because, you know,
completely.
Christopher is your soulmate, your Prince Charming, and he's not there. And she's also his daughter. Mm. And maybe you're just, it's such a hot topic for you. Mm. But I kind of, it's what Eileen Loughlin had said as well when we chatted, is that I said, how do you get out, you know, bed every day? She said, because of the children, I don't want the boys to ever, when they grow up, to ever look back and go, my mum and dad were sad, or, you know, our home wasn't a happy place.
Yeah.
Do you think in some way having the girls is a blessing, and it's that kick up the arse Christopher would give you to get up every morning and try and get on with everything, get on with life?
100%. And I mean, I think in terms of family and friends, everybody has just been so thankful that the girls, that I have the girls, and even that the girls were so close in age, and even that we had them, like, obviously within the 12 months.
That's pretty quick, Lisa.
No, it was, even people used to say congratulations, I'd be like, for
which one? But the girls, are they like best friends?
Best
would friend. They be in the same class?
No. So right. Grace, she's the 3rd of July and Beth is the 18th of July. So,
oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Even the same month.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. So they are the bestest friends. They will actually say to each other, do you want to be my best friend?
Oh, that's cute.
And then whenever they are best friends, they'll say, Beth will say, Grace, do you want to have a sleepover in my room tonight? So my Grace is such a princess. Beth's a wee bit more tomboy. So the fight as well.
Right.
And Beth is a complete character. So Grace genuinely thinks she's the most beautiful girl in the world. I think all of us need to have a wee bit more Grace in our life. Like, do you know what I mean? We all need to be.
I need to spend time with Grace.
So Grace, when they're fell out, Beth will say, I'm not your best friend and you're not cute.
Oh, cutthroat.
Yeah.
Grace straight for the jugular. You're not that pretty. What was Christopher like as a dad? Was he hands-on?
Yes.
Like, you know, night feeds, the nappies.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, especially, I think with Grace, we were both kind of like, whoa.
First baby.
Like, what is this we're doing?
Yeah.
You know, with Beth, and he was brilliant. He loved being that daddy with the baby girl.
Right.
You know, and he loved showing her off, and it was very much showing everybody. You know, like, I suppose when maybe you aren't kind of child oriented, maybe different people in their lives might be career oriented that time, or just kind of doing their own thing. Christopher was probably the person that was sending you all the pictures.
Oh, he's one of those on the night out. Oh, Jesus, Christopher, put the phone down. I've seen 20 pics.
I know, yeah. And he was so hands on. And then, especially when Beth came along, because he actually done all the night feeds. And
wow.
He started work. He just bounced out of bed. And then he really loved the idea of he was a daddy with the 2 week girls.
I was just thinking that, because I've seen he obviously was sporty as well. Mm-hmm. Did he want a little boy, or was he so content having two little girls?
He was so content with the girls. I think, you know, God, as soon as Beth was born, it was all like, you know, we're still going to have a boy. And I was like, well, calm down, Chris.
Do you think you would have had more children?
I don't know. I think now is a really funny time, because after the 2 girls so close together, I kind of was like, well, I was told, like, with having sections and stuff, like, it was like, no more for a while. And I kind of think at that stage, I thought, like, this is perfect. This is our perfect little life. We have our home. We have good jobs. We have our two healthy, happy children.
Yeah.
Whereas now, it's funny that all my friends are starting a new cycle of the 3rd child.
Right.
You know, okay. And it's nearly like a natural cycle that's happened with so many of my friends and family, that I sit back and think now, well, you know, I was robbed of that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, I can, you know, I really admire your honesty, because I was the same, like, you know, I'm still angry. You know, I'm still just, I'm really angry. Yeah, I'm angry that my mom's not here. Mm. You know, my mom would be 63. That's still
young.
Yeah, I should be able to ring my mom that I'm now living in Ireland and, you know, we're going to have a family and we're house hunting. Exactly. My mom should be with me.
Yeah. And I get that completely. And, you know, maybe then in a really selfish way, although I don't think it's selfish, people will say, and people will so unselfishly say when I hear them talking about their stories, well, why not me? And I think, no, but why me?
Yeah.
You know, why me? And, you know, it feels like I've got such an unnatural life at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, where I kind of don't know where I fit in. I have amazing friends and family who always look out for me to make sure that, you know, I don't feel like that lost person and I don't feel like that third wheeler and stuff like that. But it's hard not to, because I'm like, but why was my family robbed of a daddy and a husband and a best friend and a brother and a son and all those things?
Do you still ask why now?
I think it's too hard. You know, I think, you know, if I really sat down, you know, part of me too, and part of the reason I'm able to get up and get going is because sometimes I just have to think, this was God's plan. And, you know, if I start to ask why in terms of just life, why in life, if I start to ask why in terms of medical, then I don't know that I would have the same strength every day. Because there's too much to think about there.
You mentioned earlier that Christopher had said some stuff to you. This has been the best Christmas ever. He wouldn't usually say that. Mm. You said about that amazing family picture that you wouldn't have always taken. Mm. When he jumped into bed, he said, this feels like heaven. You know, to use, and I can see that that sentence is the one I think that it still gets you emotion upset, obviously. Do you think they were signs? Do you think it was God's plan? It was meant to be?
I don't know, but you know what, I was actually listening to one of your podcasts on the way up and you were talking about signs. And I don't know, like, part of me wants to truly believe, like, people would have said to me, the soul knows. You know, and I think for a while I really got into, like, you know, reading about death and reading about the afterlife. And, you know, I ran to psychics. I wanted to know about all this stuff. And
Did you see psychics?
Yeah, loads. I literally went anywhere anybody could get me and I would go.
Okay, see, that's something that my sisters went to see. I think it was a medium or a psychic. Mm-hmm. I have. I've purposely, and it's a thing that I still, Cassie and I, producer on this, have talked about potentially me doing it. And something, even when I go to talk about it, I think it's fear. Mm. I'm afraid, actually going to get a bit upset. I just don't think that I'm ready yet to know anything. And I think that's actually the truth of it, is that I think I'm afraid because I don't know. And that's so bad for me to say, is I don't know if I want to hear from her yet. Yeah. I don't know why. Because I think then it's just a reminder that she's not around.
It's real.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think there, I've said it. It's that I just don't know if I need to hear her and then go home and she's not with me. It's just, you know, for me, did it helped you?
So what you're saying now is that part was so hard. The whole, it felt like, you know, you're going and you're hoping and please come through. And then it was like the realness and the realization of, if I want to talk, if I want a message from my husband, if you want a message from your mommy, you have to go through another person. And is what they're saying real?
Yeah.
And then you leave and you think, but why can I not take Christopher with me?
And you probably leave quite happy, but also a constant reminder that you need that other person.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not.
Yeah. It's not the same. You know, I think you long for and you want, you know, part of, like, I don't know, but like part of what could be stopping you too is because you so badly long and want for something that to have it and maybe give it up again, it's too hard.
Yeah. I also think with me is that I'm quite good at, you know, saying I'm fine and I can park my grief at certain points. And my sisters, and, you know, because we all, humor has been a great way for me to heal and in my recovery. I don't know if you find humor, but I would say Christopher was a funny guy. I'm getting the vibe.
Yeah.
And for me, it's that my sisters will always say to me that I've not had it yet, that I'm going to hit a wall. I'm going to have that, that breakdown. And my sister calls it my little house of cards. Mm. And they always go, oh, and it's going to come crashing mm-hmm. down. And they obviously mm-hmm. say it with humor.
Yeah.
But they are fearful yeah. of that. And I don't know, you know, like you said, when you were in that waiting room, you wrecked that room. That yeah. I've not had
yeah.
a release like that. And I may not. I may not. Because yeah. our trauma is very different.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, so CBT,
yes.
which I go to, like, I remember, like, I had that one outburst that day. And then all of a sudden, I just had to gather myself up together. And it's like robotic.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, you're going in adrenaline. And I remember sitting in my CBT and I said, like, when am I going to have that breakdown? When the realization of what's happened.
Yes.
I mean, this isn't easy. Hmm. You know, if I in any way make this life look easy or grief look easy, it's not.
No, of course it's not.
So when's all those feelings that I'm blocking up and kid, like, I nearly think, like, I've locked it all away.
Right, maybe I feel the same.
Yeah, so when's that going to come out? And she'll
say, can you give me a date? That time? Yeah. I'll do an Insta Live.
Completely. But she would say to me, you know, people are built differently. So one thing that, and I think about this often, she says, you know, some people are built and they have a strong core and they can carry that with them throughout their lives. And it, you know, you may feel like it makes sense that one day you're going to have this breakdown.
I just think it's inevitable. But yeah. again, maybe like you are, do you still feel the same then?
I mean, some, I don't actually, I think I feel stronger.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I feel like, I listen to people who say things like, it gets easier with time. I don't feel that. I don't feel the easiness. I feel the intensity and everything gets so much more, whoa, like this is just crazy. But I do feel like I'm stronger, you know? Mm. I don't feel like I'm going to have that. And I used to feel so strongly about that. I was like, I'm just going to, my poor children will just grow up with me in the corner, just not able to.
No, mammy or daddy yeah, is what exactly. your fear is.
Yeah, but I don't have that feeling no more. I mean, there's definitely days where I just think, I just can't do this. But I somehow always seem to pick myself up.
I seen, because clearly I was stuck on your Instagram. I sound like a perv here. And something, a message that you had put up and it just struck a chord with me and I didn't know what you meant. And you said, some days I feel like quitting.
Yeah.
And then it was, then you had a pic of the two girls. Mm. Can I ask you what you meant by that?
I mean, at the start, I got it really tough. I didn't want to, it's really hard. Like, I mean, I did want to quit. You know, I just wanted to just fade away and be nothing and not be here anymore. Mm. And I don't feel like that anymore, thank God. I feel the complete opposite. But I mean, I think this last 6 months has probably been the toughest that I've had. And maybe it's because the shock and the trauma, you know, have wore off to a certain extent. That some days I just do want to, I want to just... Only for the girls. So you asked me the question about the girls. The girls keep me so strong. But there's some days where it's just so overwhelming and it just turns, days can sometimes turn into a week and you just feel like, I can't do this anymore. Mm. I can't be that strong person, you know. I just want to lie here and be nothing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I look at them and I think, how could I ever be nothing? Because I'm everything to them.
I know. Of course you are.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. You're their mom. You're their everything.
Yeah, so I don't know what quitting really means because I want to be here for as long as I can for the girls. I didn't always feel that way.
Right.
I think at the start, you know, I very much kind of was like, you know, just let me go and be with Christopher.
I thought that.
Yeah.
I didn't say it publicly because maybe I was embarrassed to say it. And just when it resonated with me that you had said it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought to myself, I get what she's saying, because I thought to myself about going to be with mom, and it's this, because I've always found myself with it, is that it can be very dark and it can take you down a very dark path. And you know, I even thought, and this is so stupid to say, I even actually thought, was mom being punished because I was gay? Stupidity.
Yeah.
Of course she wasn't.
Yeah.
But it was me trying to, oh, maybe that's why. Maybe, you know, and I was just.
I think a natural part of it, the whole grieving thing, is to question what your input was there.
Well, question everything.
Yeah, you know, what did I do? You know, and to like, why did they deserve that? Was it something I done? Like, yeah. I completely do that as well. So I completely get what you're saying there. And it's tiring. This is, grief is hard work. Mm. You know.
I always say if it was a colour, it'd be black or red.
Mm.
I don't know why I thought black and red.
Yeah.
I just thought it would have been, you
intense.
Know. Yeah. And I think what you had said, you know, I'm not blessed with children yet, but, you know, if it wasn't for my husband, yeah. a few, you know, I've only got a few friends and my family, because I think, like with you, is that you need someone and something to focus on.
Yeah, you do.
And I think it's a real blessing you have the girls.
Yeah.
Because imagine if you didn't.
No, I couldn't imagine. I don't want to.
And you felt like giving up or quitting. Maybe you would.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What kind of person was Christopher? I think he was funny. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he was a funny guy.
Yeah. And even you saying that, I could just imagine him sitting here now going, yeah, Brian, I'm so funny. Like,
right. Okay.
You know
what I mean? I could kind
and
of, yeah.
He was so like, he was all about like, just having fun and friends and family. And he was always like the bubbly, not loud in a bad way, but like, you know, he was always good fun. He was always good fun.
And attractive.
I think so.
Oh, yes. It's funny. Again, I've been on your Instagram. I really need to be up. So Arthur needs to take my phone.
It's so funny because, you know, he would be loving that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he and people will write to me and they'll say, oh, he's such a lovely couple.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
Bobby and Ken, I'm sorry. Two hot people.
And I'm like, God, that's just, Christopher would be just, I can just picture him.
He looked like he had a tattoo or a sleeve.
He did. He had,
right.
He had a full tattoo.
Yes.
On his sleeve and one arm. And then he had 20, his number was 23. So he had 23. And
what was the 23 number?
He just loved 23 because of Michael Jordan.
Oh, right. Okay. See, a sports thing I would.
Michael Owen? Am I right?
I don't know. Is he a Liverpool player?
Robbie Fowler.
Was that Liverpool? I don't know why. I just thought the old Michael Owen, I think, wears red, or was he Man United?
I don't know if Michael Owen is even. I don't know.
I don't know. We're looking at Arthur. Arthur's like, yeah, Michael. The fuck you know about football? Will you shut up? He's like, oh, yeah, stop whispering.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Because Arthur is tattoo crazy. I'm not a tattoo, but I was thinking because Christopher vice principal he must have been a cool vice principal and a cool teacher, covered in tats. He would have been,
and Christopher was very much his own person too, so it was kind of like, this is me, you like it, you don't like it, do you know what I mean? And you know, to the respectful manner too, like he covered his tattoos and everything, but he at school now, but he didn't hide anything, he didn't try and like hide them and things like that, but he actually had a stone angel, this lovely girl on his arm and everything. He used to say it was me. It totally wasn't me.
None of the features.
But no, he was very cool, you know, and he was very loyal.
Yeah.
And like when he's your friend, he was your friend, and just a real genuine person.
Going back to, you know, the day or leading up to it, to the week, isn't it so strange how your life can change?
Yeah. And I
just
think
like that.
That's also something that keeps me motivated now.
Okay.
When you see and you know firsthand how fragile life can be,
totally.
No matter what age you are. I mean, there's a thing like, do you want to have regrets? One thing I feel so blessed about is I don't have regrets with Christopher. You know, we had a happy, I was about to say healthy. We had a happy, healthy life up until that point.
You did, yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. And I look at other people's stories and I see sadness and so much sadness in so many people's lives that, you know, sometimes you just have to take it and appreciate what you have. And I used to not get that. I used to only see what I didn't have. And it's been 2.5 years is a short time, but I think I've learned so much because now I can look. And even this morning, Beth woke up at 3 o'clock and it was like, Mommy. And like any other day, you could be like, oh, for God's sake, Beth. And I went in and I just lay and I kissed her wee cheek and I rubbed her wee head. And I thought, oh, I'm so lucky in that sense.
Okay.
You know, and I fully appreciate life because I've seen what Christopher has lost.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Was that a mindset change for you?
Yeah.
Or was it something that happened naturally?
I think it took a long... I started the therapy in 9 months after, very reluctantly. And I remember my first words. I remember my daddy really wanted me to go. And I remember at that stage, my family being around me while I lay in bed saying, Lisa, come on.
Do you think they were worried about you?
Completely.
Right.
And that's the stage where I really felt like quitting, you know, and that's a stage where everybody's like, we need to do something. We need to do something now.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting going to Christopher's mummy, you know, I think Christopher's going to come back for Christmas.
Right.
And that was my mindset.
Right. And you fully believed he was.
And I fully believe, and I still don't fully let myself believe that I'm never going to see him again, because I think you have to kind of live in a wee world sometimes.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and maybe this sounds crazy, I'm like, maybe he'll appear to me someday and he'll sit in my bed and I'll have one of those lovely stories that you hear other people talking about. But I started CBT with a major push from my family, and I suppose somewhere deep down I kind of knew I had to for the girls. And I remember my first conversation, I looked at the woman and I says, I don't want to be happy, don't try and make me happy, I just want to live my life and make my girls happy. And I remember one of my last therapy sessions with her, I said, I'm ready to be happy now.
Right. Do you think you were afraid to be happy because you weren't remembering Christopher?
I think there's comfort in a really strange way of feeling hurt and sadness, you know, because it's a reminder of how much you love that person.
Yeah.
And I think maybe is it that if you don't feel that hurt and sadness, do you not
love that person or miss them?
I miss them that much. But I think you learn that... you know, I remember like literally smiling one day and thinking, I'm smiling because I know Christopher really wants me to smile.
Yeah, he wants you to be happy.
And I don't think people fully understand, like you said earlier, you know, you really, your life becomes about making them proud and doing right for them. And my life is 100% about that in terms of Christopher and the girls. Like, that's my life. That's my life, Christopher and the girls. And sometimes I smile because I want Christopher to be happy. Does that make sense?
No, totally, because it's like I feel now, and I've been in situations with people and I've reacted in a way I know my mom would have wanted me to react.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so in a sense I'm doing it for her.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not your purpose, but maybe now you're doing stuff to make him proud and make him happy. Yeah. But I think it'll make you shine more. Because if you lacked in a certain area, now you have him giving you the kick up the arse.
Yeah.
Were you a religious? Are you a religious family?
I mean, I think probably your typical kind of Irish family in terms of religion.
Communions, confirmations, weddings, exactly. Funerals.
I mean, do I go to mass? Do I pray and all that stuff? I find it really tough.
Right.
Whereas Christopher had a very good... You know, he used to say, though, I used to go to say, I'm really good. I'm really religious. And I said, because if you don't go to mass, all the time he says, I, but me and Big Man, we have an understanding.
You've got a deal.
You do know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that I am. I mean, I really want to believe. I really want to believe. I feel like I need to believe, because it makes it easier to think that you're going to be reunited.
With him.
Mm. And in another sense, sometimes I think it's so far-fetched.
Where do you think he is? The girls are saying he's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's in heaven? Do you? Because I think mom's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls always say, we've got my three little nieces and they're 9. One's turning 10 in November, the girls are 9 next year. And they think Nanny Rosie is on the cloud.
Yeah.
And she's, mom is obsessed with drinking tea, like 15, 20 cups a day.
Yeah.
And mom, it's such a sweet tooth. And she's eating buns and she's eating cake. And part of me, you know, thinks, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my vision.
Yeah.
Because hearing it from the children.
Yeah.
And that's when I think about it. If you were to envision where Christopher is and what he's doing, what would you think?
I would think he's with us.
Right.
I would think he's with me when I'm putting the girls to bed.
Yeah.
And I would think he's with me when we're with all our friends. I literally visualize him sitting here right now, because when we're talking about him, he feels so real. And I think, you know, for me, sometimes I feel like he's not real anymore.
Mm.
Whereas when we talk about him, I literally can see him with his baseball cap and, you know, I visualize him being beside me.
Right. And that helps you.
Yeah, I also really want them to be like heaven.
Of course, and be at peace, totally.
Yes, completely. I feel like, you know, ideally he's in heaven, but he's able to be with us as well.
Yeah.
And that's where I really want him to be. And I really hope, I mean, I think if I really, really believed that Christopher was happy, I would have a lot more contentment in my life.
From seeing the medium or the psychic that you went to see, mm-hmm. did you get anything from them that made you feel he was at peace or he was happy? Mm-hmm. Anything? Oh, and did that make it easier?
I mean, a lot of them got it really, really spot on. Like one girl, and this was like at this stage, I mean, my Instagram isn't massive, so it's not like I would walk in anywhere and people would go, oh, look, there's Lisa and all that there.
Well, I would, because I'm always in your DMs.
Now we'd be best friends.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. I've already been sending you pictures of Starbucks tea this morning. I've got your tea.
Like, some of them were able to actually say to me, who's Christopher? And he doesn't want you to be sad. And being able to say, you know, the one thing he wants you to know is he's with you in the girls and he's happy. I mean, from all the books I've read and everything as well, they always say that they're happy. You know, the mediums have all, like, I've never walked away from medium thinking, oh my God, Christopher's not happy.
Right, or that's a crock of shit.
Do you know, if anything, it's like, well, they really got him. And, you know, they really got his personality because he was so energetic and so vibrant. And anytime anybody talked about Christopher, it was with a smile on his face, like, you know, he's a character, that one. And I hate using past tense. And
I struggled with that. I'm the same, you know? Sometimes. I've been coming through airports, you know, leading up to Christmas, and people saying to me, oh my God, you're obsessed with Christmas and your mom, is your mom going to be doing mm-hmm. the big dinner? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. And for those seconds,
it's nice.
Yeah. 2 days ago, I was saying to the girls, how's mom?
Yeah.
And the three of us found her in the kitchen laughing, going, she's not alive.
Somebody actually said to me, I was sitting talking, and now this person knows, my brother's called Connor, so Connor and Christopher aren't similar names, but I suppose they have the C at the start.
It's the C.
And somebody says to me, so have you seen Christopher lately? And I was like, aye, loads. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not funny, but like, how was I supposed to respond to that?
No, but I almost feel like in those moments, it is funny. I think it's very funny that I know my mom is past 2 years, and Arthur and I were in the duty free, and I said, I'm going to get these chocolates for mom. And I picked up the bag to give it to him.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, I can't, and put it back. Yeah. But I kind of like that.
So that's, I think a lot of what got me through the first maybe year was the whole, like I used to lay in bed and think, God, what time will he be home at? Do you know what I mean? Or cook the dinner and think, oh, there's 4 o'clock, he'll be coming home soon. And for those minutes or for those seconds, you know, I just let myself believe.
I agree.
That was because I needed it. Yeah. And Christopher's poor mummy, we played football in America and all that stuff. She'll still sit, let her head think that if he needs to be in America for her, you know, it's coping. Some days you do what you have to.
Well, I mean, I think for me living in LA, I moved to LA the year we lost mom, and I was there living in Los Angeles for over a year.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think that's what, in a way, helped me mm-hmm. kind of not pretend. Pretend's the wrong word because I'm not a child. But it helped me deal with the fact if I'm living away from home.
You're living a different reality.
A different reality with a time difference.
Completely.
It's very different. Seeing that when I came home, I've started to process it more. Mm-hmm. And I moved home I didn't intentionally move, but I was home here last November for work, and we've stayed. We've not gone back. So I feel that when I'm around more, maybe it's healthier for me to be processing it.
Yeah, I think it takes time to process as well. And it's taken me a long time to even let some thoughts of, like, even like Christopher's dead, you know, like those thoughts now, it is healthy if they come up. Just sit with it. I used to block it all out straight away, and I think that caused a lot of damage for me mentally because I really struggled. I sit with it now and I let it go.
Do you enjoy talking about him?
I love talking about him.
Yeah, I'm the same with mom.
Yeah. I mean, I love the name of your podcast. Do you know, I really love it because I think my life was always Christopher. And, you know, I think now more so than ever, my life has become so much about him. In grief, yes, but like also, you know, I need, like, it's like when we ran the marathon and I really wanted to get it out there, and I had 340 people sign up to do it, and we raised £60,000. And the reason I wanted to do that was because I wanted this community of Christopher and everybody who wanted to talk about Christopher.
How soon was that after you lost Christopher that you ran the marathon? She's working out in the fingers now. She's like February, March, April, May.
Yeah, 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you found that helped?
It definitely helped because I had, like you said, do I find a helpful talk by CRISPR?
Yeah.
I had this community that we call CC23, CRISPR Calhoun 23.
Yeah.
And it was everybody who just wanted to do right by Christopher. To kind of, I kind of said, I want to carry on something. I want his school to have someone in his memory.
Yeah.
And it had all these people, the day the sun shone so brightly, which was lovely, a pure pain in the arse for running the marathon.
Yeah. It's so hot. That was Christopher having a laugh at you. 100%, you know? Lisa.
Yeah, but it was this community of people that loved Christopher and wanted to remember Christopher. And that helped me through the first few months, you know?
You think about him every day.
No word of lying. I said this on my Instagram. I think about him every minute of every day.
Yeah. For me, it's morning and night. Don't know really? Why. Every morning and every night. And some days I may not think about mom.
Really?
I may not. And like, I want to be honest about that, mm-hmm. because that's how I'm processing it.
Yeah.
But it'll be the morning and the night. It'll be the morning. And sometimes I wake up expecting to get a text and I don't, or, yeah. you know, and at nighttime, I still say goodnight to her, which is very strange. But some day, during the day, I may not, but morning and night.
Yeah, I suppose your life is so busy and,
yeah.
you know.
Which I think is a blessing. Like, yeah. I think, you know, and it's that sentence you wrote, you know, and quitting, you know, that word in particular, that I feel like now I have a purpose, you know, and I'm back living in Ireland. And I almost feel like, am I on the path I'm supposed to be on?
And I completely get that. I actually had a conversation with a girl a few days ago about the path. And this is not the path I want to be on in my life. Like, my path, if I could choose, would be completely different.
But we can't. I don't think we choose them. We can't.
And the path I'm on now for what has happened in my life is definitely the path. Like, you know, whereas before I said I was so lost, I now know what I am. I'm a mummy. Yeah. You know? And I think eventually I'd be Lisa again.
Yeah.
I think it'll take time, but I think anybody with two young children is a mama. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? First and foremost.
And they're so young. Being so young, mm-hmm. have people asked you or have you even thought about yourself moving on, you know, getting married again, or, you know, having more children or having a boyfriend and dating? How do you feel about all of that?
Right. Like, 100% honest.
Yeah.
I have no interest. And do you know, like, remember earlier on whenever I was saying to you about how people kind of wanted me to return to some sort of normal life? I had people at Christopher's Wake saying to me, you're still young. You'll find somebody else.
And, wow. I mean, I was still inappropriate, I think.
Inappropriate. But yeah. I genuinely think it's people uncomfortable with death and uncomfortable with, I was 30 when Christopher died. So, I mean, I was 3 years younger, and people, I think, just were very uncomfortable with the fact that I was a young girl, with two babies who was potentially going to grow old by herself. And I mean, it's a question that comes up quite a lot. And I have different reasons for saying I'm not interested. First of all, I love my husband. I love him. I can't imagine ever meeting or loving somebody as intense. Like, when I tell you I think about Christopher every minute of every day, I do. Mm. I genuinely do. I genuinely believe that he's my soulmate. Mm. He's, the expectations of men would be way up here, you know.
He's pretty tall. Pretty tall.
I don't think anybody would ever meet my expectations right. against Christopher. And then on a completely mummy-sided way, I wouldn't want, and I've said this to my friends as well, because I think my friends, you know, of times have said to me, I'd say, could you actually imagine me with somebody else? And I'd say, but Lisa, we would want you to not be by yourself.
Mm.
And I thought, oh no, I don't like that. But when they've said that, and when I've actually thought about it in my head, you know, imagine me, my girls are only 3 and 4 now, like, hypothetically meeting somebody and being in a relationship for 2 years and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And then being in a relationship for 2 years.
Yeah,
and,
I get,
and then
yeah.
by the time the girls are only 10, have I introduced 3 men into their lives? You know, the reason I've built myself up to be this strong is because I want to give them a stable, happy, safe environment. And you know, I'm not open to letting anybody come in and break that.
Do you think potentially you could be when the girls are older? Say the girls are 18 at college. You'd only be in your 40s.
Do you know what? Like, this is, I know, I don't give you, honestly, and I say this with every part of my heart. You see, if I get to my dying or, and I have never met anybody else, I think I would be happy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Would and you, Lisa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also wrote something on my Facebook, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I, and people find that sad, but I don't. I have my burial place beside Christopher. Mm. It's him I want to be with. And I know that maybe sounds morbid as well, but my life now, I feel, is a journey to being back with him. Mm. And I don't mean that in a way where I'm like, let's do this, do this, do this, because I want to be there now. Yeah. You know, it's kind of hard. I mean, like, you know, let me enjoy this life with the girls. The girls have brought so much happiness that I never thought would be possible again. If they can continue to do that, and I please God we do, I just see my life as me bringing my girls to where they need to be before I have my resting place with Christopher.
Yeah, because you, it's the word and the term you use is soulmate.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Mm. Again, I was on your Instagram. And you, that's, you, he is your soulmate.
100%.
Yeah.
And like, I just, it genuinely, like, I would be sad if I ever thought I met anybody else.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people will be surprised when they hear that. But I think what I think needs to be respected is your complete honesty.
Yeah.
And like, even if, I'm saying this to Rachel Gorry as well, even if you wanted to date or you were in a relationship or if you were to fall in love again and, you know, have more children or get married, it's no one else's business.
I know what you mean. And I've actually talked to people who have been in the situation of Grace and Beth. And they'll say to me, you know, I wish my mummy found somebody.
Right.
Because it makes life easier for them.
Yeah.
Because, say, hypothetically, Grace or Beth grew up to have the job that you have.
Yeah.
And they travel the world. Will it make it harder to leave mummy at home by herself?
Of course, yeah.
You know, and that's a hard thought as well. And growing old by yourself and maybe, you know, not knowing where life brings you, what your capabilities are when you're older, that's scary. But at the same time, you know what I really want to be? I want to be that woman where people turn around and go, she done that.
Yeah, she kicks
and she
ass.
She was strong.
Yeah, she kicks
like,
ass.
You know, and I want to be that. I want to be that kick ass person.
Yeah, I think you are.
Yeah.
I think when I firstly, you know, I've met you, obviously glamorous, but I thought maybe shy or, but you actually, you're not. You're very strong. And I think you're probably stronger and more independent than you think.
Yeah, I think than I ever realized I could be.
Yeah.
My daddy actually put up a quote a few days after Christopher passed away, and he says, you don't know how strong you are till being strong is the only choice, you know? Yeah. And that's my only choice now.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to be a fighter.
Mm. I think you are a fighter.
Yeah.
I think the girls give you, I don't say great purpose,
they
but I think they do in a sense of, and you know, and I think also Christopher is that hand on your back, you know, reassuring you, but also maybe pushing you.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone listening to this, anything you could say that could help them or something that, I know it's a hard question, but I always like to ask anyone or something that worked for you. For me, it's been talking, you know, about mom.
Yeah, I definitely think what helped me was, you know, I took things at my own pace. So, you know, people would say like, Lisa, when are you going to go? And like, like at the start, it was simple things like, you know, daily simple things like just getting up out of bed and doing all that is tough and you do it. But then people have the expectations that they want you to go out even for coffee or, you know, when you're going to meet your friends or when memorial cards, headstones, all those things are so hard. But I never pushed myself.
Mm.
You know, I took things at my own pace. I think if I had ever been let myself feel pressure from other people to do things that I wasn't ready for, I think I could have crumbled. Easily, really could have. But I think that's where Christopher maybe gave me the strength to say, stop, I'm going to do things when I'm ready to do things.
Mm.
Until then, you just need to let me be.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very lucky and blessed that I had a circle of people who never pushed me.
Mm.
But I think it's so important to listen to your own head and your heart and know what's right for you. Like I always say to my friends, like when we're talking about anything, I'd say, yeah, but you know in your heart. You know? You know? So you'll always know in your heart.
Oh, you're one of those. Should I have another drink? You know my heart. Jesus, Lisa, pour me a glass of champagne. Would you say there's colour back in your life? You see colour, whereas you didn't see it before.
There's definitely happiness that I never thought I would have in terms of the girls.
Right.
You know, sitting here having a conversation with you is lovely. You know, it's nice to be able to sit and smile and things like that. I never thought I would ever do again. So there's definitely, I mean, I don't want to say like I started, there's life after death and loss and all that.
No, but I there think, is in a sense, isn't there?
I think there is, because yeah. I don't want anybody to sit and listen to this podcast and think, well, God, like, you know, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's good, easy for her, or good for her, yeah.
You know, and I find that very tough, because people still say to me, you know, well, I couldn't live your life, or if my husband died, well, I wouldn't be able to do what you can do, but you can.
But you don't know either.
And you don't know, and, no. And life surprises you. You know, I'm on a completely different path job-wise. You know, I am not the person or in the place or anything that I thought I was going to be, but life has surprised me along the way. And I think Christopher has every part to play in that.
Yeah.
And I do think, I mean, I don't want to, life is hard. You know, this is a very heavy cross. Mm. And I don't want to play that down in any sort of way. But, you know, when you take it and you own it, like you say, and you respect that life is fragile and you appreciate what you have and you're grateful for what you have, then you allow colour back into your life. Mm. Does that make sense?
I agree. And also, before we wrap up, just to point out, I kind of have met you and Christopher before. Yeah. Both of you came to a celebrity Big Brother eviction back in around 2012. Yeah. And you're probably going, oh my God, he's so stunning in real life. Look at him.
Yeah. Do you know what? And we were there and we were screaming, Brian!
I'm like, security. How funny though. And that 8 years later, we're here having a conversation. Isn't it really funny?
It's just so like, strange, I think.
Yeah. People think, well, it's not that strange. I think it is.
Christopher was so biz for that too, you know. He was loving it. I remember you coming out trying to warm up the crowd before like the break had went out, and you went away for a couple of minutes.
Hair and makeup, obviously. Thank you so much for sitting down today and talking to me. And I think, you know, what I like about doing this is that everyone's journey is so different. And the stuff that we've spoke about, I've not even realized. I think you are super strong. You love your husband, your two little girls. I think it's great. They give you purpose. I'm thrilled you're not a quitter. Okay. And I think you definitely are a fighter, and never doubt yourself or doubt your potential. And I think a lot of people will quite enjoy our little conversation. So Lisa, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When listening to Lisa's story, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and scared. It's unnerving to think about the fragility of life and how vulnerable it can make us. But it's clear from Lisa that she's so happy to have had Christopher, even for a short time. And despite the pain of his passing, she feels so thankful that she experienced such a huge, huge love. Next week, I chat to Baz Ashwami. Baz is a total family man and opens up about his feelings around his father's passing and how he struggles with grief.
I always had this picture that a grave is just, it's nothing to me. Mm. It's bones. There's no one there. So why would I go there?
Yeah.
She's not there and I'm not going to see her again.
Yeah.
You know, there is no heaven. This was my attitude. So
was this at 13?
This was as soon as she died. I was like, that was it. I was done with religion. I was like, I don't believe. I believe we live and we die and that's it.
Right.
Now, somewhere along the way, I've kind of found my own spirituality with stuff.
Right.
But I couldn't understand why I would sit at a graveside and talk to a stone.
Yeah.
And then the thing that used to annoy me, I went to a funeral and there was these huge tombs, these huge, huge graves, massive graves. And then there was, like, I was standing on a grave.
I know.
It was like a little cross and I'm standing on it. And I thought, even in death, this shit.
I know.
Where this guy, what was so important about him compared to this person? I know. It should be like, you know, Washington, equal. Where all the graves,
the crosses, looked,
they all look the same,
all the
you know?
Same, yeah.
So there was something I just was venomous about, that I just didn't like graveyards.